This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Call it the tear scene round the world. Did Senator Hillary Clinton's emotional moment help her win New Hampshire, or was it a stunt? Also, we debate the latest on Marion Jones' jail time for steroid doping. Our bloggers on tap today are Robert Redding. He publishes the ReddingNewsReview.com. Valencia Rahner, she runs the blog Why Black Women Are Angry. And Eric Brown, blogger for the Detroit News' political and government blog. Thanks for joining me, folks.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And thanks for having us.
So it has launched thousands of blog posts, Senator Hillary Clinton getting a little teary-eyed as she spoke to voters in a New Hampshire cafe. She went on to win. Robert, you blogged about this in a posting titled, Hillary Cries, Save Me from the Black Man, and it works.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that, you know, it's easy to talk about Hillary Clinton and talk about the whole Bill Clinton comment about it being a fairy tale, and it's easy to talk about the MLK comment, but it's a lot harder to talk about what's behind that and what made voters not vote for Barack Obama. And what made voters not vote for Barack Obama is the fact that white women in this country have been glamorized. And when one is in distress, and this is what I talk about in the article, when one is in distress, people rally around her, and that's what clearly happened in this race. Now, I don't know whether that was a plan, but that is what the Clinton administration that is trying to get back into the White House did, clearly.
Valencia, on your blog, you've written a few entries about Senator Clinton, and you talk about what you call your own Hillary moment. What is that?
Just last week, I was having not a great day, and I broke a guardrail in a parking structure, a wooden guardrail, and I just didn't know what to do. I was frustrated, and I just cried. And I didn't know if I had to pay for it or what the ramifications were. And the owner of the parking lot said, listen, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. And he even paid for my parking. So the tears worked for me in that case.
So are you basically saying that you think you were manipulative, or that although you were honest, it was still, you know, your feminine reaction that got you a break? I mean, explain to me a little bit more about how you see, one, what was your level of honesty? And two, was it a question of how people perceive women in distress?
I think it's a question of how women perceive people in distress, because I was raised to be strong, standing on 2 feet. I mean, tears are just not the first thing that comes to mind when I'm trying to manage a circumstance or situation. But in this case, I was just overwhelmed and frustrated because I was already having a challenging day. And before I knew it, the tears came, and they, in this case, a man, or men, because it was a tendency as well, responded. Now, I'm appreciative. I would have liked to thought about handling it another way. I was not trying to be manipulative. It's just how it unfolded.
Eric, do you think that crying in public is a sign of weakness? Is it manipulative? I mean, I know that I've cried in public. You know, I've cried in an airport. I've cried on the job, and I have to say, thank goodness it's rare, but sometimes it happens. I mean, and there's a difference between the honest form and the manipulative form, and there are variations on that. But do you think it's considered a sign of weakness anytime you cry in public?
I mean, I won't necessarily say it's a sign of weakness when you cry in public. One of the issues I have with what happened last week is the fact that the way it was played out and was not being said about the person that even asked the question. The person that asked the question was a Barack supporter. And that person was not swayed by the emotions displayed by Hillary Clinton. As a matter of fact, the person still went on to vote for Senator Obama. And we had to be careful as a society, because had that been one of the male contenders for the presidency, he would have been ran over the coals had he displayed that type of emotion.
Do you agree with that, Valencia, that a guy could never cry?
I most certainly do. I think
boys don't cry.
Yeah, and also, too, I think that there's this understanding in society that women are just different from men. Women respond differently to things than men respond to, and it is what it is. And so because we are made up the way we are as women, and men are the way they're perceived and made up as they are as men, it's just perceived differently.
I want to move on to the Michigan primary. Got some more from the Clinton camp, this time courtesy of Bill Clinton. Last week, the president, former president, had this to say about Barack Obama's bid for the White House.
It is wrong that Senator Obama got to go through 15 debates trumpeting his superior judgment and how he had been against the war in every year and never got asked, well, how could you say that when you said in 2004 you didn't know how you would have voted on the resolution? You said in 2004 there was no difference between you and George Bush on the war, and you took that speech you're now running on off your website in 2004, and there's no difference in your voting record and Hillary's ever since. Give me a break. This whole thing is the biggest fairy tale I've ever seen.
Some people took offense, including Representative James Clyburn, the South Carolina Democrat. He said it was insulting. So last Friday, President Clinton went on Al Sharpton's radio show. He apologized for the comment, tried to explain his position. Valencia, what did the president, former President Clinton, say he meant by that statement?
As I understood him, he meant that he was talking about Barack Obama's position on the war, and he was trying to compare and contrast his position as it compared to his wife's position. And quite frankly, Bill Clinton is a man trying to get he and his wife back in the White House, and he's trying to protect his woman.
He's working so hard that it seems he's almost lost his voice.
Absolutely. And also, too, keep in mind that Bill Clinton was also on Michael Bazin's show last week, and I'm telling you, those calls came in fast and furious, and people were very, very upset. So this whole notion by the Clinton campaign that Barack Obama's people are edging this on, they continue to threaten, they continue to make us look like we can't think for ourselves. We don't need Obama's campaign or anyone else to tell us when we're offended. We know offense when we hear it. So they need to regroup, in my opinion.
Eric, what's the fallout from this?
Well, the fallout is the fact that you have a lot of African Americans that probably were so into the Hillary Clinton camp for whatever reason that have now taking a step back to say, wow, is she really the one I want to support? And why am I supporting her in the first place? Because most people believe that they are getting Bill back in the White House for whatever reason. And this blind loyalty and support towards her is a major problem for me. I mean, I would eat 100 rats before I vote for her. I just won't do it.
Why? Are you saying that's what...
For one.
Go ahead.
For one, I don't think she has the record to stand on. She talks about all this experience, and when you have only been in the Senate for what's going on, well, she's in her eighth year. I don't look at her experience as the First Lady of Arkansas or the First Lady of the country as a person that was elected to that position. Being the wife of the person that was elected, it comes to the territory that you are the First Lady. Therefore, she had no decision making processes in the White House, no decision-making processes in Arkansas. So where is all this experience coming from? People are buying into the fact that, yes, she does have experience. I mean, show me.
Robert, that's actually become one of these political battle, talking point battles of whether or not she is overselling her experience and saying how many years of experience she's had. Does that issue come up for you as you think about this race?
Well, I'm an independent, and I agree with a lot of what has already been said. Let me just say that Hillary Clinton's a very smart woman. I think that she is not good for the black community. I don't think Bill Clinton, just because he got a relationship on in the White House, whatever you want to call it, on in the White House, or the Clintons have been good for black America. Look at our imprisonment rate in the black community. People overlook that. But I think she's a smart woman. But at the end of the day, I don't think she or Barack Obama are the right people for the jobs. While we're talking about fairy tales, that label applies to both of these people.
All right. Well, before we continue, I just want to reintroduce who we are, what we're doing. This is NPR's News and Notes. I am Farai Chidea, and this is our Bloggers Roundtable, where someone will always get you angry. We were just talking to Robert Redding. He publishes the RedingNewsReview.com. Valencia Rahner, she runs the blog Why Black Women Are Angry, and Eric Brown, blogger for the Detroit News' political and government blog. I actually want to continue with the whole political juggernaut. Hillary Clinton was speaking with a Fox News reporter. She had her say on comparisons between Barack Obama and Martin Luther King. Here's her take on the role of the presidency in making civil rights a reality.
Dr. King's dream began to be realized when President Lyndon Johnson passed the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It took a president to get it done. That dream became a reality because we had a president who said, we're going to do it, and actually got it accomplished.
All right, Valencia, more people a little tweaked at this?
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily offended personally because I understood what she was trying to say. What I found more offensive is there were other comments that weren't played just now where she spoke about how Martin Luther King had to get attacked by dogs and endured hoses. I mean, like, is that what it takes to be qualified to be president? Or I took offense more personally when she spoke about how Barack Obama, as he referenced JFK and Martin Luther King, like he didn't have a right to reference them in terms of how he's been inspired by them. She said, well, he compared himself to them, and he didn't. He just referenced them when, as he spoke about hope and encouragement and change and what is motivating him to take this on. So, again, I think that they continue, the more they talk, the more it's like open mouth and insert foot.
Eric, you are based in Detroit. Michigan has had its beef with the national parties because the state moved up the primary dates. When you think about issues like the ones that we've been talking about, the sort of level of debate between these two camps, how is your area, your state, your city faring in terms of getting attention from the candidates, having your issues heard?
Well, there is no attention from the candidates other than the Republican Party. And like Robert, I'm an independent as well. And I think that the Democratic Party did themselves a disservice by not staying with the game plan as it relates to the National Democratic Committee. I think they also did themselves a disservice by taking themselves off the ballot. The governor of the state of Michigan has endorsed the New York senator. And one of the reasons she said that she endorsed it because the senator from New York is brave enough to keep her name on the ballot. Well, I think that's a slap in the face to anyone that's a Democrat. And I, you know, woe be them for being, you know, who they are to continue to support a party. But though she is on the ballot, she still has not come here to campaign. So she is just as wrong as Senator Obama, former Senator Edwards, and anyone else that took their names off the ballot. But I guess in the sense she played the game and felt that I keep my name on the ballot, no matter how many votes I get, I will win the Michigan Democratic primary. But she still has done a disservice to her party as well as to the Democratic electorate in Michigan.
Robert, when you see what's been going on with the primaries, every state wanting its chance to move on up. Reminds me of that game, Mother May I, where everybody's trying to edge up. Is this sustainable? Meaning, is the primary system as it stands sustainable, or will we have to move to some kind of a national primary if every state just says, I want to move up?
Absolutely not. This is ridiculous. The way it's working right now, we have New Hampshire always trying to be first and historically being first. That's what their argument. You have D.C. that there's very little talk about D.C.'s primary, which moved up last time. I'm not sure what they're doing this year. My whole point is, at this point, I think they should probably look at going to some type of lottery system or look at doing something a little different, because right now we have an election process that started a year ago, and we have a year to hear from two candidates, and that's a mighty long time. And that favors someone like Barack Obama, who doesn't have a lot of experience, because it seems like he's been running for an awful long time. Remember, he announced back in last January, that he was running.
All right, guys, we have just a smidgen of time left, and I want us to take a quick leap into the world of sports. Marion Jones, track star, Olympic gold medalist, stripped of her medals, now sentenced to 6 months in prison. Valencia, what have you written recently about Jones, and how have your readers responded?
Well, I wrote on Friday when her sentencing was handed down that basically how sad it was. Obviously, there was some wrongdoing. She admitted it, and she's taking responsibility. But I have issue, as I've had always, with the unfairness in sentencing. I mean, here if you compare, they're putting her in jail for 6 months away from her two small children, where you have a teacher like Deborah LaFay, who had sex with a 14-year-old, who has still not done jail time. Oh, and on top of that, she violated the conditions of her probation, and she escaped having to do jail time again. So again, there's this whole notion and issue with the fairness of sentencing with people of color versus, you know, others.
Eric, do you see unfair sentencing in this?
I won't necessarily say unfair. One of the issues that I have been grappling with is the fact that, I mean, she did lie to the feds, and I guess the true test of that will come when I saw the dealings is over with the baseball situation, the Roger Clemens's, the Barry Bonds, and how that's handled with regard to Valencia and comparing it to Deb LaFave, that was, you know, state and circuit court versus federal court. I mean, there are just certain aspects of our community, unfortunately, just can't go in front of a grand jury and lie to. There are repercussions, and when it's all said and done, perjury is a crime.
And finally, Robert, mm-hmm. what do you make of these tea leaves? Do you think that this is going to basically affect how people work from now on?
Well, I think it will. And watch out Barry Bonds, because he's the next one to take a big hit here. They couldn't get him on the actual use, so now they're talking about perjury, and those charges are, as we know, pending. So he's been out in the local press more than anybody on this thing. So if they give her 6 months, what are they going to give him, 6 years?
All right. On that note, I think we're going to have to let you guys go and have you come back again and give us some more of that hot buttered opinion. Valencia, Eric, Robert, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Valencia Rahner runs the blog Why Black Women Are Angry. She is here with me at our NPR West studios. Eric Brown blogs for the Detroit News' Politics and Government blog. He is on the line from WYCD in Detroit. And Robert Redding publishes the RedingNewsReview.com. He joined me from the Radio People studios in Monroe, Louisiana.